We are going to train 100,000 Christian ambassadors to be ambassadors in their own country for the state of Israel, to defend Israel's brand and to combat anti-Semitism. Now, the beautiful part about this is we're partnering with Blackboard. Blackboard is the largest platform in the world, serving Harvard, Yale, all the major universities. We'll train these wonderful Christian evangelicals so that they can fulfill what I am doing for the state of Israel. Secondly, we're creating FOSI, an online academy, to train tens of millions of evangelicals. The power of the evangelical muscle is enormous. It represents almost 1 billion people. But no one ever harnessed it. And we're doing that here. The second thing I want to announce is in our Friends of Zion Museum, we are going to build the Donald Trump exhibition. No president in American history has done more for the state of Israel than Donald Trump. And we're the ones that got President Trump elected, and we'll do it again. He who defines the terms controls the debate. The Media Center is indeed a gift to Israel. You can use it for any event you want for the foreign ministry, etc., because we are doing this all for Israel. It's all about Israel. There's something even bigger that we are focusing on, even bigger than a great prime minister. It's called the State of Israel, the majestic State of Israel. That is not a banana republic. It's not a place. It's distinguished. For the first time in history, this precious nation has the respect of virtually the entire world, with the exception of Iran and North Korea, with the exception of Syria. And that's such a compliment. My wife's made enormous sacrifices for me in leadership. And when I married her, I said, I have to be honest. There's another woman in my life. She said, what? I said, Israel. I love her so much. I have to be with her a lot.
Hey, Natcha. How you doing? Yeah, folks, as you can see, I've got a little friend with me today. This little dog has kind of adopted me. She's one of Jeff's dogs. I'm still here at Jeff's place. He's not here anymore. This will be my last day here, actually. And then I'm going to other places. It's been my last day with this little dog. She's been kind of clinging to me for the last 2 weeks. Wonderful little creature. But yeah, what a great intro, hey? What a wonderful future to look forward to, folks. We have 100,000 evangelists out there to push the Jewish system on everybody, because that's what's important, of course. They really need to push this reality onto people. And what a difference they've made to our reality, folks. I mean, like this could be like a four-hour show. Honestly, the amount of information that's coming in and the amount of things that are happening, it's just incredible. It's only been 4 days since I did my last video, and there's just so much going on. On the good news front, the new hate speech laws that were due to come in Australia on, I think, January 19, or they were going to be voted on January 19, it didn't pass. These hate speech laws are not coming in, and that is a very good thing. But they'll simply repackage it. And I think we're going to see something like what happened in America happen in Australia. In as much as, like, they use every country, different countries, for different testing grounds. They try different methods, and what works, then they try it in another country. Like when they disarmed the people with that false flag attack at Port Arthur. They've been trying to do this to the United States for a long time, but the United States has First Amendment, the Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment. They're sort of You know, it actually has a Bill of Rights and a constitution. Australia has a constitution, but it doesn't have a Bill of Rights. And if people believe rights are something that is designated to them by government, well, then they've already lost them. They already have no rights. So it's just how you look at things. But I think what they're going to do in Australia, like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Pauline Hanson gets elected in the next election, and she's going to be presented to the people as the saviour, the complete outsider that came in and is going to change everything, the way Trump was presented to the world. And she is going to fully capitulate to Jewish interests, and they'll bring these new hate speech laws back online, only they will change it to be worded as anti-Semitism laws, because they are trying to claim that the whole shooting at Bondi was due to anti-Semitism. So they want new anti-Semitism laws in place to deal with this type of thinking. So that gives you a good indication of who staged the event. In all these events, cui bono, who benefits? Who benefited from this event? Someone who wanted to create anti-Semitism laws. That's who benefited from this event. So who staged this event? Whether it was an Arab guy, whether whoever it was. There is talk that he was actually an IDF guy. And all this stuff happens, and there's big headlines about it. We see their faces splashed on the news, then they go away and you don't hear about them anymore. Or did he just go back to Israel? Or will he be going back to Israel? Or, you know, whatever. But these things are all staged. And I think they're going to bring Pauline Hanson in, and they're going to do a Trump on Australia. And Trump is a fiend, folks. All the people out there in the MAGA camp, he is a fiend. And his information that's recently come out, which illustrates that very well, and I'll get to that a little bit later in the show. I actually did this video yesterday, and then last night I was sent an interview that I had somehow missed, and it was so compelling that I had to redo the show today and include a discussion about that interview. But I'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, the hate speech laws have been overturned in Australia, and that's a good thing. But like I said, they're going to repackage it. They're going to really try to push what they did in America onto Australia, because like I said, they try it in each country and they find out what works. Well, they've just sort of managed to succeed in brainwashing the United States and completely dividing them, the left and right. Everyone really, the divide between the Republicans and the Democrats at the moment is insane. And ultimately, there is no line. There is no divide. It's the one thing. There is no left. There is no right. It's a uniparty system. And it's played in such a way that you will take a team and you will barrack for your own team. And some of the stuff that's happening in the United States is brutal. And you've got all these MAGA people cheering it on, all this ICE stuff. These are brutal people. They're saying, well, they're illegal immigrants or whatever. They're human beings and they deserve due process. It's as simple as that. If you are okay with this happening to these other human beings, then you are okay with it happening to you. And this is a cruel, sadistic system that's been brought about. You know, I've often said, like, in the old world that we had, I don't think we had money. I don't think we used to operate this way at all, because if people were paying wages and they were working by the hour, they never would have constructed all of this incredibly ornate and beautiful and functional architecture and all the stuff they did. You know, when you've got to pay to be alive and everything is working for a wage and paying by the hour, you get stuff that is ugly. You get stuff that is just barely functional and not built well and designed to break. You know, the whole economic system that we live under is designed to turn the world into rubbish, because everything has got to have permanent growth all the time. The whole economic system has got to have permanent growth. Anything that you create, you can't create it to last forever. You've got to create it so it breaks so that you can sell more of them. That's the way the system works. So you create something fantastic. You dig minerals out of the earth. You take resources out of the earth. You create something that's great, but you make sure it breaks within a year or two. So it gets thrown on the trash heap and they have to buy another one. So basically, you're taking resources out of the earth, turning it into something nice for a little while, and then throwing it on the trash heap. You are turning the world into a rubbish heap. That's what the corporation does. That's what the corporate system does. That's what the money system does. That's what usury does. And I don't think we used to live in a monetary system. I think we used to live in a completely different cooperative sort of a culture. I once spoke to you about a book of receipts that I used to have when I was younger. And the receipts were recipes, like a recipe on how to do something. It was a skill. People used to trade skills and they used to worship skills. Well, not worship skills, but that was what got you through society, was how many skills you had. If you're a master tradesman, or you're a master builder, or a master woodworker, or you just knew how to do all sorts of stuff, that was what got you through society. That's what created your place in society. And those skills and those abilities are what you would trade with others. That's the way our system used to work. It had to work that way. Otherwise, they never could have built that stuff that they built. And they've taken all that away from us. And they've created this whole situation where we're living in a state of debt slavery. We've got to pay to be alive. And we think that there's a left and there's a right. And we pick our rulers every 4 years. And all these rulers do is steal from us in different ways. It's unbelievable. But anyway, yeah, getting off topic there. But anyway, the hate speech bills have not been passed. But you watch what they're going to do. And similar thing in the UK. The digital ID has been canned. They're not going to be able to roll that out yet.
Good evening, everybody. Good news. Keir Starmer has just announced he's abandoned plans to implement compulsory digital ID. I think this is hugely good news for all of us. It shows what can be achieved when sensible MPs get together and with public support make their views known. Nearly 50 MPs signed my open letter to Keir Starmer on this subject, to which we were implacably opposed. And I think we can say this is a victory for common sense. It's a victory for all of us. And we can safely say now that we retain our freedom. Another slice of it has not passed to an oppressive nanny state. We've got three more years to go, and we must collectively use this as the template to fight the nonsense that's being peddled and promulgated in this country now. So well done, everybody. Have a large drink to celebrate this evening.
But you watch, they'll change that as well. What they'll do is they'll say, well, we're going to have to stop online violence and online bullying. So, of course, we're going to have to limit children under the age of 16 from accessing the internet. So, of course, we're going to need biometrics so we can identify your age in order to go onto social media. The sort of stuff they're trying to do in Australia. They'll try this now because, like I said, they try different things in different countries and they see what works and then they adopt it to all countries. So that'll be what they do with that. I mean, none of this stuff has gone away. They just repackage it and they sell it back to the people. But yeah, but it's been brutal in the United States, absolutely brutal what the ICE agents have been doing. Because, of course, someone, a spokesperson from the White House, after this whole Renee Good shooting and Jonathan Ross and all that sort of stuff, who's completely dropped off the map, they've done a fundraiser for him. He's raised $1 million, over $1 million now in the United States. Murder pays well. And there's been so much evidence come out now to show that he actually leaned over the car and shot her. I mean, it was deliberate. Like I said, I think they intended to kill somebody that day, and they probably thought, we'll do it to that serial pest. And the way he said, fucking bitch, when she drove off, you know, when she was dead and the car drove off anyway. But the question is, did she die? I mean, she was fully connected as well. Then again, I mean, you see him lean over the car and shoot. But again, that's what they want us to do. They want us to argue over whether she died or whether she didn't. And it isn't about that. It's about what they're going to do with it. And what they've done with it is what we said they were going to do. Well, they've done fundraisers. They've raised a lot of money for Renee's family, whether she's alive or not. And they've raised over $1 million for the officer in question, Jonathan Ross. And they also got to completely up the tactics with ICE and give them more powers. As we said, this is what they were going to do. This is one of their intentions. And then a White House spokesman went on the news and said that ICE are basically above the law.
To all ICE officers, you have federal immunity in the conduct of your duties. And anybody who lays a hand on you or tries to stop you or tries to obstruct you is committing a felony. You have immunity to perform your duties, and no one, no city official, no state official, no illegal alien, no leftist agitator or domestic insurrectionist can prevent you from fulfilling your legal obligations and duties. And the Department of Justice has made clear that if officials cross that line into obstruction, into criminal conspiracy against the United States or against ICE officers, then they will face justice.
So when they got that information, well, then they really cut loose and started hurting people, kicking down doors and just doing all sorts of terrible things. So all this has been planned, folks. That's what it's about. And Trump's doing this to avoid people looking deeper into all sorts of things. Trump is a demon, folks. He really is. He's a despicable human being. And all the MAGA people are going to be in for a rude shock. But again, getting back to this whole shooting, and hopefully this is going to be the last time I need to talk about it, but Renee Good was fully connected as well. I mean, perhaps she was a paid agitator, and that's why she was doing all this stuff, because she was fully connected. Perhaps she was a paid agitator, and they simply used her because they needed to get the job done a little bit further, so they took her out. She probably didn't know they were going to take her out. She probably knew this event was going to happen and there'd be some incident, but she probably didn't think that she'd get shot. And, you know, again, whether she got shot or not, it doesn't really matter, but there is footage showing that it looks like he did shoot her, and it would be far more effective for them to do that, and they certainly don't care about human life. But she was fully connected, and that's interesting.
What if I told you this whole Renee Good situation was staged? What if I told you Renee Good was married twice before being with her partner? And what if I told you her first husband is in the Air Force? And what if I told you her first husband now works for the Department of Defense? Now, what if I told you those Kansas City college books had nothing to do with her? That she actually graduated from Old Dominion in Virginia? Look it up, they even wrote a thing for her. What if I told you, even if you pay for it, you can't look up that license plate and see who it's registered to? And her partner was such a good crisis actor. What if I told you they knew that this was going to start protests and riots? And that's what they wanted. What if I told you today, January 15th, Donald Trump threatened Insurrection Act on Minnesota? Sounds planned. There's too many connecting dots here. I mean, a lot of connecting dots here. Quite the history. Should really do the research on the history of this woman, because it's not adding up with what they're telling us. People and entities can be very calculated. I mean, what do I know? I'm just a creator. This could be for entertainment purposes only. Or it's not.
Yeah, so it puts a whole new light on the subject. But again, it's what they're going to do with it. And what all of this is about is, like, Trump's even talking about enacting the Insurrection Act. So things are getting pretty drastic in the United States. Meanwhile, while that's going on, of course, there's all of this propaganda coming out about what's happening in Iran. So many Israeli accounts online pushing this whole concept that there's huge uprisings in Iran, there's an internet blackout, and the government has killed, like, figures ranging from 2,000 to 20,000, 20,000 people killed, you know, 300,000 people injured, using chemical weapons and gas and all sorts of stuff coming out, all these reports that are coming out from Israeli sources. And there's pictures of marches or videos of marches that are happening. I mean, there was one protest at a funeral, which is okay, justified, but most of the marches that you're seeing aren't marches to overthrow the government. They're actually marches in support of the government saying, get the CIA and Mossad out of our country. And there's riots and violence. There's a lot of it happening, but it's Israeli operatives. I mean, caught on video, like Israelis handing out machine guns to each other. and just running out onto the street and firing randomly into the crowd, stuff like that.
همین که تیم زیاد میکنه همکار رو بکشون شهید میکنه با اسلحه خودش. خیلی خوشبیش هم که با اسلحه.
There's video footage which I won't show you, but I'll show you a picture of it, of a guy, looks like he's got a flamethrower and he just sets a motorcycle rider on fire who's riding past. This sort of stuff is happening on the ground in Iran, and these are all Mossad operatives. They're trying to create the concept that there's a revolution. They want to push this to the world, and they also want to create one themselves. They want a government crackdown, because then the United States can come in and bomb the country to save the people, the way they have done with all these other countries that they went in there to save the people and free the people. It's all one big mindless slaughter, folks, is what they want to do. But all of this is being run by Mossad. Trump is, of course, sending carrier ships there, you know, aircraft carriers and stuff, and they're talking about bombing the place and blowing it to smithereens, because that's what they do, folks. That's what they do.
This is one of the craziest sequence of events you've ever seen in geopolitics. You see this tweet? I greatly respect the fact that all scheduled hangings, which were to take place yesterday, over 800 of them, have been cancelled by the leadership of Iran. Thank you. So Trump has now cancelled attacking Iran because Iran has cancelled the scheduling of the 800 people that they were going to hang publicly, right? That's the story we're being told, right? Iranian agencies release clip of Mossad agents they captured during an anti-regime protest in Iran after a tip from the Denmark Intelligence Agency, DDIS. Important here to note that Donald Trump threatened Greenland and Denmark strongly objected to it calling it disintegration of NATO. So basically what's happened, Trump threatened Denmark with Greenland, right? It got so bad that now Denmark has realized there's nothing they can do. Trump really wants this. So in return, they decided, you know what? This is how you want to play it? We're going to show you. So they now sent Mossad a list. Iran a list of all the Mossad agents in Iran. Now, this is very important. Denmark is trying to hurt America by telling Iran where Israeli agents are. I don't know why Israeli agents, America, you see? So Denmark now goes and tells Iran where all the Mossad agents are. So Trump and his people get ready to strike Iran. And then Iran sends a cable to the Israeli intelligence and say, if you attack us, we will publicly hang every single Mossad agent we have caught. So Mossad now calls Trump and they say, abort, abort. If we strike, they're going to publicly kill all our people. And you know why that's a bad thing? See, those Mossad agents have families in Israel. So imagine Israeli people now happy we're attacking Iran, only to watch their family members literally being hanged on TV in Iran. So that's the whole reason why Trump canceled the bombing of Iran, because Denmark exposed all the Israeli agents in Iran to Iran to hurt America, because America wants to take Greenland by force. Bah. I don't know why some people are into reality TV when we literally have reality TV in politics. But yeah, that's what's going on right now.
But most of the protests that you're seeing and most of the marches that you're seeing in Iran are in support of the government. And Iran isn't a Sharia law place. There are Christians there, there are Jews there. The Christians and the Jews don't have to walk around wearing hijabs. You know, it isn't like you can't go out in the street without wearing a hijab. Just because it's a Muslim majority government, it doesn't matter. There's no Sharia law. I mean, maybe there's Sharia law if you're a Muslim, but if you're not a Muslim, it's just law. It's just the way it is. So, and like I said, Christians and Jews and stuff don't have to walk around with hijabs on. And there's many of them there. So, you know, you're being fed a lie with the whole thing. I mean, everything they tell you, they just feed you lies, folks. That's what they do. But they're really doing... Buenos dias. But they're really doing a lot of this because they want to push the world into World War III, folks.
The Israeli Prime Minister came here today and said that Israel is surrounded by those who want to destroy it, an enemy. We're here, members of a Muslim Arab committee mandated by 57 Arab and Muslim countries. And I can tell you here, very unequivocally, all of us are willing to, right now, guarantee the security of Israel in the context of Israel ending the occupation and allowing for the emergence of a Palestinian state, independent state. He is creating that danger because he simply does not want the two-state solution. Can you ask the Israeli officials, what is their end game? Other than just wars and wars and wars, ask any Israeli official, what is their plan for peace? You'll get nothing because they're only thinking of the first step. We're going to go destroy Gaza, inflame the West Bank, destroy Lebanon.
I mean, Israel is who's going to start World War III, and they're desperate to do it because, like I've said before, they want to get their third temple built. And the scary part is that there's so many Christians that are supporting this sort of shit. Like, I actually saw a report that I think someone either sent me a video or they posted a link beneath my video or something like that to a Christian channel, and they had a third temple report. And it was horrifying to see what these Christians actually believe is going to happen. And they're all cheering this on. Everything that's happening, the war, the coming war, all this sort of stuff, they say this is going to bring about the return of Jesus. This is the end time prophecies coming true. And they're literally cheering it on. And it was scary to see the delusion of these people. It's shocking to see, folks.
And once that third temple is built, who is supposed to sit in there? Well, the AC, the Antichrist, right? That is the Jewish Messiah, okay? But in the Bible, it's referred to the Antichrist, which we believe in our Messiah, which is Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian. So if you do not get this, okay, we're talking about end times prophecy happening right now, all around the world in different areas, all converging at once and fulfilling biblical prophecy at the same time. And this third temple is very important because everything has to be in place, because once the tribulation hits, well, then exactly 3.5 years in the middle of that, that is when the AC, the Antichrist, will sit in the temple, right? And so you've got to be, if you pay attention to this, if you are a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, you're living according to the word, as I've told you, we will be raptured. We will be meeting Jesus in the clouds. Jesus returns to earth for the final judgment at the end of tribulation, you know? So we can know these signs, right? Right? And that we can actually, it's supposed to bring us comfort knowing that Jesus Christ is returning soon and that we will not have to suffer on this earth anymore.
Huge end times update regarding the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. You gotta check this out. We are so close.
Today, during a change of commander ceremony, Ben-Gvir said, "The Temple Mount is ours forever and ever."
No one care that Israel is about to get sovereignty over the Temple Mount, which would let them build the third temple. With the bill that was introduced by a U.S. representative to give Israel sovereignty over the Temple Mount, this is a huge deal because right now it's illegal for Jews and Christians to pray on top of the Temple Mount, and this would give them sovereignty, which means that the third temple's coming.
And why am I so excited? Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. The Temple Mount is where it all goes down in the end times. The Temple Mount is where the man of lawlessness, the AC, will sit and declare himself as God. The Temple Mount is where all of the religions will come under one world religion to worship the AC, guys. We are so close to Jesus coming and snatching away his bride. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Highly recommend you do that because he is coming any day now. I'm so excited. Let's go.
Yeah, and that's one of the scary parts about all this, folks, is that the Christian Zionists are really pushing this on, and the evangelists are really pushing it on. But what if it's not like that? What if the Bible was written just to keep you waiting so that you think, oh, this is it, the Antichrist is going to come, and then after that, Jesus is going to come back and save us? Well, maybe he's not. Maybe you're supposed to do that yourself by taking his teachings into your heart and standing up for yourself and refusing to comply with wrong behavior the way he did, which is why you remember him, which is why he overturned the tables of the money changers, why he started baptizing people without charge, all the stuff that we're told he did. He did that because he was refusing to comply with the current system, and he was urging you to do the same. His return is when his spirit arises in your heart, not waiting for him to come back and save you and you never doing anything about it, and just knowing that the world is run by pedophiles and criminals and there's war and death and bloodshed all over the place, live streaming the murder of tens of thousands of children in Gaza over the last 3 years. And everyone's arguing over the left or the right or the Democrats or MAGA or Trump or, you know, who killed Charlie Kirk and, you know, did Renee Good die and all sorts of crap. I mean, wake up to yourselves, folks. Look at what's going on. There's a massive takeover happening on this earth. I've said there's much more Jews. There's far, far more of these people than 15 million. And there is far less humans on earth than 8 billion. I showed you that report a few shows ago. Where I had that little thing at the start that basically showed you there's only really probably 3 billion people on Earth. I believe that was done by Eric Dubay as well, which is interesting because Eric and I have had our differences. But if you happen to watch this, Eric, good on you for doing that video. I totally respect it. And even with that, it's time for us to all put down our differences, folks. Don't argue over whether the Earth's round or flat, or don't argue whether they did this or they did that. The question is, do you want to stand up against the people that are running this Earth because they want to kill you? Okay? They are wiping out most of mankind. And they've been continuing to do this for years and years while telling us that the world is overpopulated and getting us to kill ourselves by not breeding, not having children. White people, you're a threat to the world. You know, there's a Jewish community in upstate New York, Kiryas Joel Village, that is a full-blown Jewish village. The average childbirth rate, families average around 7 children each. They have up to 17 or 18 children each. And this is a Jewish-only community in upstate New York.
This is Kiryas Joel, a village of 44,000 Hasidic Jews in upstate New York that primarily speak Yiddish, have an average of 7 kids per family, and rely heavily on state assistance and welfare programs like Medicare, SNAP, housing assistance, and tax credits from their many kids.
How many kids do most people have out here?
17, 18.
How do they afford 17, 18 kids?
They are proud to do what the Torah says, that you need to be multiple and fruitful.
Wow, how do people afford to have like 10 kids out here?
The community is based on this, so...
Okay, so is it wealthy members of the community give charity?
Yes, mostly.
I don't talk to suspicious persons.
How am I suspicious? Do you study Torah?
You work for Hamas?
What do you do for work?
Nothing.
How do you make money?
My wife.
Your wife?
I'm doing home care.
Brokerage, construction.
Are most people on Medicaid, SNAP, EBT?
I don't know, I can't speak for other people.
What about you?
I'm not going to tell about myself.
The one thing I am curious about, though, is the welfare use. Are you on welfare?
No. The Jewish people, Justin Kiryas Joel, their taxes covers everything that we take back. They pay a lot of property tax.
You know anyone on welfare here?
I won't comment on that question.
Come on.
No.
Why not?
No.
What do you guys do for work here? You guys have, like, businesses, work a job, study Torah?
I have a job.
What do you do?
I'm in sales.
What do you sell?
Food.
Okay. What food do you sell?
Chocolates.
What? I feel like I'm getting bamboozled right here.
Excuse me. You guys take EBT?
We do.
What percentage of people would you say use EBT for their groceries here?
100%.
100%? What percentage would you say?
35%.
A little bit difficult to conclude what to take away from that. Let's pop in here and say shalom.
synagogue?
Yes.
Okay. Lots of people praying. I'm not sure the schedule exactly, but 9 o'clock sharp, they're not at work.
Question for you. What do most men do for work here?
Can you give me some ideas?
Oh.
I'm just asking Hasidic Jews out here.
I know.
What do you mean? Do people here survive off of welfare?
BT? It is a pretend, like all of the communities. You have 8 kids. You can also get benefits.
It's 2:59. Why aren't people at work?
These are all teenagers.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
You gotta wonder what these people do for employment. So if you want to talk about Sharia law and people living in a theocratic ethnic enclave, look no further. Curious Joel is an example of only Jews living here, and a lot of them are tapping into welfare benefits.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we're told that white people are killing the earth is overpopulated, and you shouldn't have children. Think about what's going on, folks. We're being wiped out of existence. And it's being done deliberately. And they've infiltrated all of our countries and all of our governments, and now they're pushing for war, and they want all of our countries to be subservient to Israel. That's what's happening in Argentina. You know, the Argentina, they're actually giving welfare benefits to Israeli expats.
So what we've seen from these soldiers in Patagonia is that they behave as if they didn't need to respect the laws of Argentina. And then they are very rude to people. They can walk into a supermarket and start eating food without paying, for example, because they know there won't be any local authority to tell them anything, because they have a political backing behind them, to say the least. And several things have drawn attention in that regard. One is that we were in Patagonia this summer, where there were very important fires, very, very important in Patagonia, right on the trails where these Israeli soldiers walk. And part of the paradox is that fires always start in Patagonia near waterways. So President Milei changed the land law and the forest law so that any foreigner could buy land in Argentina right now. And he removed the forest law through which, if a part of a forest burns down beforehand, it couldn't be sold for 20 years. So that prevented intentional fires from starting, because if someone had a piece of native forest, let's say fine, someone else could set it on fire and come and offer it much cheaper, when in reality, they keep the land, and it's still next to a waterway. So far, Oscar, there has been only one case in which a person has been found setting forest fires in Patagonia. And it was on the Chilean side, right? It was a forest of more than 15,000 hectares in the Torres del Paine National Park, and it was indeed an Israeli soldier. The soldier's name is Roder Singer. He acknowledged that he had deliberately set fire to the Torres del Paine National Park, but the Zionist lobby within the Chilean judiciary got them fined only 7,500 euros. Plus, in recent weeks, a long-standing theme has been confirmed. In Argentina, Israeli citizens will be able to have all the same rights as Argentine citizens and even collect a pension from the Argentine pension system, even if they've never worked here, and even if they don't even live in Argentina. In other words, the Argentine pension system will start supporting Israeli retirees. It's as crazy as you're hearing it.
It's crazy, folks. In Australia, the menorah they had on the Opera House for New Year's Eve, giant menorah in Brisbane as well. Now you're going to see Pauline Hanson take over. She's going to be completely subservient to Israel. Remember the rabbi saying that all the nations need to pledge their allegiance or need to humble themselves before the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation is the Jewish people. And there was a breakfast at Mar-a-Lago the other day, where they had a Jerusalem breakfast at Mar-a-Lago, and the rabbi came out and blew the two ram's horns. And this, of course, is signifying the coming of the Great War. So this is all planned, folks. This is the Great Extermination, where they destroy Amalek. And once they've wiped out the Arab world and they've put their puppet in place in Iran. I mean, Iran is all about keeping control of Iran and keeping the people subservient to the state of Israel. Iran was a great nation. There was a president there back in the 50s, President Mossadegh. And he was overthrown by the Mossad and CIA because he wanted to nationalize the country's oil. And they imposed the Shah of Iran after him, who was absolutely brutal. He was a tyrant. He had a secret police that was trained by Mossad and CIA. And there isn't a family in Iran that didn't suffer at the hands of this secret police. And it was the worst period in Iran's history under the rule of this brutal dictator. And so, of course, then Khomeini came and took over and was able to say, well, look what happens when you turn away from Islam and look what happens when you turn away from Allah. You get these imperialists come in and they terrorize you. So everyone just embraced that. And out of that, they were able to create the specter of Islamic extremism. It was all done by design. Khomeini flew in from France. He was exiled in France. When the Shah took over, they exiled the religious leader and sent him to France. And when the Shah was deposed, he fled the country and fled to France. And I would imagine that Khomeini's plane, they crossed in the sky. He probably even went to the same hotel that Khomeini was staying in. The whole thing was contrived. It was done to bring about the specter of Islamic extremism and to create this whole war of East against West. And once the Jews have gone and wiped out the Muslims, then they will come for the Christians, because it's all about the destruction of Amalek. And you are Amalek. If you want to find out about that, like the whole overthrow of Mossadegh and what really happened, you can go to the CIA's own website, go to their reading section and look up an article called All the President's Men. And it will tell you all about the overthrow of Mossadegh. Yeah, and they set up Israel to do exactly what they're doing. The people that are running Israel don't give a shit about Jews. They don't give a shit about the state of Israel. What they give a shit about is blood and gore and taking over the world, raping children and doing all of these horrible, evil things. Even when you say it's Jews doing all of this terrible stuff, it's a certain group of mafia within the Jews, and it isn't just Jews. It's pedophiles, it's psychopaths, it's criminals, it's rapists, it's people who drink human blood, adrenochrome. I mean, you would not believe how evil this system is and how evil the people who run this world really are. And what this is a takeover. But they needed to establish the state of Israel in order to create turmoil in the Middle East and pretend that they're under attack all the time. They only put it there because they wanted to destabilize the Middle East. They want to create this whole specter of Islamic extremism, and they want the Christians and the Muslims to kill each other, which is why they did it, folks. And it's just continuing to go that way. And they're desperate for war. They want it. They do everything they can to bring it about, and they know it must happen because their stupid freaking book says so.
There's no doubt that the final war with Hamet Gog and Magog, which is yet to happen in some fashion, we don't know in what fashion, because it depends if you hold by the opinion that Hashem already scattered it over World War I or World War II, then hopefully we won't feel the pain of it too much. But we do know that a great major war will still happen, because that is the way Amalek is eliminated. You know, when they were talking about the Nazis about the final solution, remember that? They didn't realize that they're talking about themselves. They are the final solution. They are. Hashem needs to eliminate Amalek, because that is the source of all evil. That is where it's all, even though Amalek is all over the world. Today he's scattered. He has ambassadors everywhere. But the main nation that is responsible for all the evil is still the one area. And even though Roman Empire is related to Amalek, because it's Edom and Amalek, they're all going to come soon together against Yerushalayim. If they don't come on their own, Hashem brings them out. Hashem brings them out because Hashem wants to prove to them, I'm the boss. I'm going to fight this war not with F-15s and F-16s and F-35s and all these things, smart missiles. It's going to be real smart missiles, but Mishamai, you know, all kinds of makot like the Egyptians got. So the Goyim have to see this. They have to be convinced once and for all that Hashem is behind the scenes. So part of the reason of Gog and Magog is to eliminate Amalek. So in the process of that war, however he comes, all the evil will disappear. There needs to be an elimination of Amalek. Not everybody will be Zocheh. According to Daniel, two-thirds of the world will disappear in the process.
Through this mitzvah of Mechiyat Amalek, of eliminating Amalek, or erasing his name, Hashem wants us to remember that the best way to love what Hashem loves is to hate what Hashem hates. If you hate what Hashem hates, you will come to love what Hashem loves. That's the way the system works. In order to truly love what Hashem loves, you have to hate what He truly hates. And Hashem hates Amalek.
Yeah, they tell you folks. And like I said, as soon as they can kickstart a conflict with Iran, they're going to blow up Al-Aqsa Mosque and they will blame it on a stray Iranian missile. That's the plan. And they've already got everything ready. They've got their altar, they've got their menorahs, they've got the choir ready, they've got everything ready. Apparently, even all of the parts of the temple have already been prefabricated and it's ready for them to just put it up. It's all stacked there and they're ready to just put it up in a matter of 3 or 4 days. They'll get this whole thing done. They'll get so many people in there. They'll work the way the Amish work and they'll get it all done in a matter of a couple of days. And then they can anoint their Messiah and blah, blah, blah. And that's the plan, folks. That's what they want to do. And like I said, Israel was created for this very purpose. It was created to start this war. It was created by the Rothschilds, of course, the banking system. The introduction of the monetary system is where it all went wrong. Forcing people to live in a state of usury creates the very situation that we're in. It creates a throwaway society. It creates a world where you turn everything into rubbish and do all the stuff that they've done. Do you know that the Supreme Court, the Israeli Supreme Court in Jerusalem, is located on Rothschild Street? That should really tell you everything that you need to know. And now they're consolidating their power with everything else they're doing. That's what Venezuela is all about as well. It's not just about oil. It's about controlling that whole area. They want to take over Panama. They want to take over Central America. They're flexing their muscles against Mexico, flexing their muscles against Canada. Trump wants to steal Greenland. There's talk of this huge billionaire libertarian city they want to build. How can you be a billionaire and a libertarian? You know, it doesn't really make sense, especially the caliber of billionaires that they're including. People like Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and all of these criminals, Bill Gates. Yeah, right, libertarians. And they want to build this whole plant and all this stuff in Greenland. So they've already made the plans. The same as they've already made the plans for all the resorts they want to build on the bones of dead children in Gaza. And I guarantee they'll leave the bones of the dead children there, folks. And they will sit back there in their gold-plated palace. And they'll sit there and they'll smile and they'll think about all the dead children beneath them and they'll literally get off on it. That's how sick and twisted and demented these people are. That's why they've made the war in Gaza go for so long, because they want to stretch people out emotionally, physically, mentally. They want to drip every single last bit of emotion and pain out of these people. And they just want to kill them. They like to torture and maim, and they laugh about it, and they actually get energy from it, which is why they've live streamed it to the world, just to traumatize the world. It's why the ICE people are so brutal, just to traumatize the people. They want the people to stand up and try to fight back, because then they can lock the whole world down, folks. That's the plan. And even what I was saying before about population, there isn't 8 billion people on Earth. There's only probably 3 billion people on Earth. And there's another woman who came out recently doing the calculations for the population in China, who came to a similar conclusion.
Ready for the number?
Yes.
At one point, I projected under 400 million.
What?
500 million. Under 500 million.
Under 500 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that they have a very similar population to the United States and China?
Yes. There's 1 billion people missing.
And this goes back to what we were saying in the beginning or earlier in the podcast with all of the fake IDs and all of this stuff being found out.
Yeah, there's possibly 1 billion people missing. It's not a demographic question, Danny. It's a mathematical question. Let me ask you. It takes a couple to have 2 children to replace themselves, right? Think about
it. Yes, 2 children.
If every couple produces 2 children,
the population stinks level.
Right. So Do you know how many children does every woman needs to have in her lifetime in order to triple its population in 50 years?
To triple its population in 50 years, you need to have what? Let me guess. I'm terrible at math.
I'll give you the answer because okay. I asked AI. It's a crazy mathematical. If a country needs to triple or grow its population by 2.5 times, let's just say 2.5 times.
Okay.
Over a span of 50 years.
Five kids?
Each woman, you're right. Each woman needs to give birth on average between 4.5 to 5.5 children.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, China grew its population officially from 1950. That's when the CCP took over to control. Okay. China's population in 1950 was about 500 million. In the year 2000, 50 years later, China's population was about 1.27 billion. Okay. So it grew 2.5 times, right? From 500 million to 1.27 billion. That's 2.5 times over 50 years. Chinese women did not have, on average, have 5 children. Because of the one-child policy.
Yes.
Because of the Great Famine. Because of the Great Famine, tens of million people died. Because of Cultural Revolution. So China, you know, from one political movement to another, and then to almost 4 decades of single-child policy, there's no way Chinese women had 5 kids.
Yeah, interesting stuff, hey? And sorry, look, I'm going off on all sorts of tangents. I keep interrupting subjects with other subjects and then coming back to those subjects. Getting back to the temple in Jerusalem, like they've already minted the temple coin as well, which has got Balfour Cyrus Trump on it, or Cyrus Balfour Trump, one of the two. And Cyrus was, of course, the first Goyim Messiah who they believe was ushering in their system. Balfour was how they got Israel set up, and Trump, they believe, is who's going to be ushering in their new Goyim Messiah or their new Jewish Messiah. And that coin's already been created. And, you know, it's been a war of deception that's been waged against the world for so, so long, folks. And, you know, and they revel in it. Like I said, they want to traumatize the world. Like, just the images that have come out of Gaza. And they there was one post that I saw that said the moral of the story is, fuck with the Jews, you lose. And he put this out there proud of what they've done to Gaza, and really it just shows the extent of the genocide. Yeah, and there's so many videos like this coming out, videos that they really didn't want you to see, of the level of destruction that's been done to Gaza Strip. I mean, this is northern Gaza Strip. But the thing is, virtually the entire Gaza Strip looks that way.
see them.
Yeah, it's just disgraceful, folks. And these people are sicker than anything they could ever accuse the Palestinians of being. They are sick beyond most people's imagination. They really are. Incidentally, there was something that I've been meaning to mention on the last three or four reports. A few weeks ago, there was a guy called Yoel Attler who was arrested, I believe, somewhere in Europe, possibly Sweden, possibly South America, I don't know, somewhere. And he was arrested for running a child sex trafficking ring, one of the largest in the world. Yeah, but you don't hear anything about this because the media is Jewish, folks. The whole media is Jewish run. The United States media, the British media, the Australian media is certainly Jewish run, the same as all other medias. So you just don't hear anything about this stuff. Yeah, and that's why you don't know much about this whole Jewish world takeover that's happening. That is what's happening. Well, of course, based on the Holocaust, the need to nurture and protect the victims of the Holocaust, which is provable bullshit, folks. I actually posted a link the other day on my X to a trial, and I can't remember the name of the guys. They had weird German names, but it was a trial that happened in 1972 of two architects of Auschwitz, and they tried to take them to trial for saying, you are the architects of the gas chambers. And in their defense, these two German individuals summoned two independent architects to go and look at the plans for Auschwitz, and the independent architects determined that these places could not possibly have been used as gas chambers, and these two German architects were acquitted. Then, of course, you had all these Jewish people come in and say, well, you know, they retrofitted them afterwards and they did all these modifications to them to turn them into gas chambers later. Of course, they didn't show any evidence for that. The wooden doors were still on these buildings, and yeah, it's just ridiculous. The whole thing didn't happen. And there's so much evidence to show that. And this is coming to light as well.
Antisepticism is a serious illness that affects more than 50% of Americans today.
That's enough noticing for the day, Timmy. He keeps saying he wants to save Europe.
Do you or a loved one suffer from noticing?
Having empathy for the Sand People is the first sign.
Yes, one moment. We work directly with the FBI to flag them as dissidents. It may be time to get help before we lock them up.
Because noticing
is antiseptic.
So they really need to do what they're doing, folks. They need to kickstart World War III. They need to kickstart civil war on the ground in the United States, because there's too much stuff coming out about Epstein and about what was really going on in that whole circle of people. And they want to cover it all up. This is why they're censoring the internet and doing all the stuff they're doing as well. It's why so many sites are going down. And even, like I've said before, everything that we create, we post online, but we don't generally have hard copies of it. All the films that I've made, all the radio shows, all the stuff that I've done, they don't exist on tape. In the real world, where you could get an old tape recorder and you could play them, they only exist online. And they can be all deleted with the click of a button. The power goes off or whatever. The films that I've made, none of them are actually real, in as much as they don't actually exist in the real world. You can't go and pick up a physical copy on a shelf, on a VHS tape or something like that. You can't put a reel-to-reel on or an old tape reel and watch any of this stuff. You know, we see all the old movies when they're looking at the old past and they've got the old crank there. And, you know, we can't do any of that with any of the stuff that we've done online. All the stuff we've done online only exists online. Oh, Nacho, I didn't see you there, darling. Little girl, how you doing? This little dog, folks, she's such a cute little dog. Say hello to everybody, Nacho. Say hello to everybody. Hello.
She's so cute. She just follows me around. She was hiding there in the bushes at my feet. And I didn't see her. You're so cute, darling.
But what was I saying? Yeah, none of it exists in the real world. And we need to document everything. We need to save all this stuff. We need to download this information, put it on reel-to-reel, document everything that's happening, because they're going to change history, of course. And Mike Pelosi even came out and said that when they look at what's going on in Gaza and what's happened at this period in history, we have to make sure the story is told right and the people know not to focus on the victims of Gaza and to realize that the victims are Israelis.
The next generation of young people won't remember October 7th in the same way. That's true in Israel and in America and broadly in the world. And we need to make sure two things. One, it's not that we don't forget. We need to make sure that the story is told properly so that when the history books write this, they don't write about the victims of Gaza, right? They can't, the history. And it's, I should be a little more precise. There were victims in Gaza, right? It's true. There are civilian casualties in every war that's ever been fought. But the victims were the people of the nation state of Israel. The aggressor was the Iranian regime in the proxy of Hamas. And we need to make sure that the history books reflect that. And that requires each of us every day to talk about it in real time with our children, with our grandchildren, about it in a way that is serious and thoughtful and complete and moral.
Yeah, the Israelis are the victims in the genocide of Gaza, folks. Crazy. So write it down. Put all of this stuff in a time capsule. I've said that before. Like, get a lot of this stuff. We need to create time capsules. Hide stuff in the walls of buildings and dig time capsules in the forest and put marked stones on them so that people in the future find them. And I've suggested this for a long time. Like, we've got to not just have all of our information online. We've got to get it out to people of the future and let them know what happened, which is why all these monuments exist all over the earth as well. You know, they're trying to get information out to people. And we've got to start disconnecting from the system, folks. I mean, resistance is futile. Disconnection and non-compliance is golden. It is imperative. It's what we must do. You know, resistance is a loaded term. Resistance gives the concept, it puts into your mind the concept that what's happening is inevitable and you simply need to resist it for as long as you can. But no, you need to respond. And the best form of response is to disconnect from the system altogether. I mean, I might get to the point where you've got to have some sort of armed response. If it comes to that, well, it comes to that. When you look at how evil these people are, well, possibly it will. But that shouldn't be the first option. The first option should always be non-compliance and disconnection from the system. You know, it's key. As I've said before, you know, withdraw service from people. These people don't serve us, so stop serving them. ICE agents and stuff. I mean, if they come into your garage or into your roadhouse, into your gas station, say, no, we're closed. You know, you're not serving us. You're not serving the people. You're attacking Americans without due process. Doesn't matter whether you think they're immigrants or not. Half of them, you don't even let them show ID. You just beat them up and attack them before you even give them a chance to show ID. It's ridiculous, folks, what they're putting people of America through. And then you've got other people, the MAGA people, cheering it on, saying, well, it's okay, it's a blue state.
Listen up, snowflakes. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is hiring. Are you an insecure, out-of-shape loser who couldn't make it as a cop, soldier, crossing guard, or mall security? Donald Trump needs you. He needs all the men he can get. All the big, bigly, biggest men he can get his grubby little hands on.
I just walked in, and a big, strong guy grabbed me.
These guys are massive guys that grabbed me.
Massive guys. Two really big, because I'm a big guy. And they grabbed me.
Do you want complete immunity to shoot anyone who makes you mildly upset? Are you prone to flying off the handle? And do you want to put yourself in situations where you have an excuse to do what you really want to do anyway? Oh, and what are your feelings on brown people? Bad, right? Good. Then you, my chubby little hillbilly loser, are ICE material. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Come be a fucking loser with us.
Might be a blue state, so it's got a Democratic governor. So what? It's got Americans living in it. Even if it is a blue state, I guarantee not everybody in the state voted Democrat. Half of them are probably Republicans. But it doesn't matter because Democrat and Republican is a freaking illusion, folks. It's an absolute illusion. So you've got to put all of this shit down and realize that this is a war that is being waged against the people. I said this in my first film in 2008. World War III has already started. It is a war of depopulation. It is being waged by the elite, the mega rich parasites, who aren't elite at all, they are parasites. It's been waged by them against the people of the world, and all governments are involved. World War III has already started. I said that in 2008. Look at where we are now. People are still arguing over the left and the right. And you watch what will happen if Pauline Hanson gets elected into the Australian government. And the important thing about Trump, folks, is that you've got to look at what's going on in Gaza. The sheer brutality of that genocide. And I know people are sick of me talking about it. Well, screw you. This is important because, as I've said so many times, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And now we are seeing that in Minneapolis, and it will soon be coming to you.
All right, folks, this is evidence footage, Operation Sweet Fat. Time is 11:30 hours. Schrader, DEA, pure product, 82% butterfat. We're not talking the margarine or pushing at school bake sales. This is street grade. Got a real high potential for dependency. We've seized approximately 15 pounds of finished product, packaged for retail, and another 20 pounds of raw material in what they call laminated dough. This product is so pure, so organic, the first bite breaks your will, the second shatters your waistline, and the third ruins your life. We have just taken down a major manufacturing and distribution cell for pastry in significant quantities. To the layman, this looks like a kitchen. But make no mistake, this is a lab. A lab for producing pure, uncut, laminated dough. Get a load of this. The estimated street value of this particular batch could keep an entire city block on breakfast. For a week, our primary suspect goes by the alias the Frenchman.
But when you think of the genocide of Gaza and you listen to Trump's thoughts on it, it shows you what sort of a human being this man really is.
We make the best weapons in the world, and we've got a lot of them, and we've given a lot to Israel, frankly. You used them well. It also takes people that know how to use them, and you obviously used them very well. But so many that Israel became strong and powerful, which ultimately led to peace. The world is loving Israel again. And I said to him, you know, the world is big and it's strong. But there was getting to be a period of time over the last few months, you know, the world wanted peace and Israel wanted peace. Everybody did. Everybody did. And what a victory it's been, right? What a victory it's been. If you would have gone on for 3-4 more years, keep fighting, fighting, fighting. It was getting bad. It was getting heated. The timing of this is brilliant. And I said, Bibi, you're going to be remembered for this far more than if you kept this thing going, going, going. Kill, kill, kill.
Yeah, pretty disgusting, folks. This man's got a heart as black as pitch, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. But something else I wanted to point out is that you might recall a few years ago, I put out a show called The International Net, where I started talking about what the real purpose of the internet has been. I mean, what do you do with the net? Do you catch things? What do you do with the web? You know, the World Wide Web, the International Net. You catch things. And I said that, why did they make 9/11 so obvious? They wanted to awaken the world, see who can think critically. They staged the 9/11 attack. They could have done it so that you wouldn't have known, but they staged it so it's obviously done. It was a false flag, obviously staged by elements within the government, definitely not by a guy with a laptop in a cave on dialysis on the other side of the world. I mean, definitely not. And then you had people like Alex Jones out there with a bullhorn on the street saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. 9/11 was an inside job. And they basically really started the truth movement from that point. I mean, it was there beforehand. There were people who were calling it out. There were people like Jordan Maxwell. There were people like, you know, Stan Deo back in the day. There were so many people that were calling it out, you know, years and years and years ago. But it wasn't really an official truth movement, not really, not the way it became, until 9/11 happened. And that's why they made 9/11 deliberate, because they wanted to go fishing for all the awake souls. That's why it's the World Wide Web, the international net. And I said, as soon as they gave me my YouTube channel back, I said, this is probably why they've given me my YouTube channel back, because they want to track and trace everybody who goes to the channel. A couple of shows ago, I had that It's Ginger Theory girl on with the funny mask and stuff. And I can understand why she's wearing that, because it completely messes up facial recognition. She's actually got a nose cap and her cheeks are covered up to her eyes. And she's got this sort of bead thing that doesn't block her voice at all. She can speak through it, but it's like a curtain in front of her face. All you can really see is her eyes. She's probably got a ginger wig on as well. So I can understand why she's done that, because she's saying some pretty truthful things. But she put out a video again the other day. She put out a great video connecting the dots on something else the other day that I had on. I think it might have been Charlie Kirk, or it might have been the Minnesota shooting. I don't know. I had her on one or two shows ago. But she put out another video talking about how the net is being used to track people, and it's a phishing exercise.
Allegedly, David Goldberg was a researcher with a White House insider source, as well as intelligence officials. David was Jewish and Zionist and was horrified in 2019 after learning of Zionist plans through White House memos and other internal documents describing two projects, Project Pogo and Project Zephyr, a two-stage plan. For Pogo, they would utilize TTID, Tag, Track, and ID. They would use this for dissidents, nationalists, patriots, anyone who would pose a long-term threat. They used YouTube gatekeepers like Alex Jones to create a space for alternative thinkers. They were all agents paid to put out truthful information to tag, track, and identify the people who were watching and interacting, basically using alt media influencers as honeypots. They then created databases of Americans who were awake. Remember, Alex Jones, Andrew Tate, and Tucker Carlson all have CIA daddies. Their targets are anti-Zionists, anti-Semites, Christians discussing Synagogue of Satan, Muslims, any goyim who won't conform, and anyone aware of and opposing Zionist world government plans. Project Zephyr, the second stage, the extermination. High-value targets will be taken out through kidnappings via a U.S.-based Israeli Defense Force, or ICE. The low-value targets would be taken out through viruses or other widely applicable means. At the time, they were working on COVID. Goldberg estimated the total number of dissidents to be around 15% of Americans, and that was in 2019. He also said that if there were too many dissidents, they would then conduct power outages and purge-style attacks to take people from their homes and place them into camps. He said that they might blame it on Iran, and false flags would probably take place to make the U.S. go to war with Iran in order to further Israel's Greater Israel Project. It discusses foot soldiers from the U.S. and nuclear weapons being used in Iran. The memos also said that Donald Trump had converted to Judaism in 2017 and joined the Chabad Lubavitch Synagogue in New York and had been meeting with high-level rabbis in which these plans were discussed. These plans said several times that he would have to declare himself King of Israel publicly to symbolically declare the start of the plans. Trump is not just a Jew, according to the memos. He's a Freemason and allegedly has been promised high-ranking positions for his children in the government that they're forming, which will be headquartered in Jerusalem. David posted his findings on his YouTube channel. His channel was then scrubbed. David Goldberg died on June 8th, 2019, in his Brooklyn apartment. He was found by his neighbor dead on the floor, with foam coming out of his mouth and no apparent cause of death. No cause of death has ever been publicly released. His friends claim that the police took a lot of his things, much more than they should have for the situation. All data about David Goldberg has been scrubbed for the internet.
Yeah, and she's completely correct on that. And that's something that I said in that international net radio show, probably back in 2017 or 2018, that would have come out, I'd say, maybe 2019. And that's what I said when they reinstated my YouTube channel. This is likely what it's about, so just be careful. You should be using VPNs. So yeah, But anyway, getting on to the other topic, the topic of Donald Trump. Yesterday, I was sent an interview by a lady called Lisa Noel Voldang, and she interviewed a guy called William Sasha Riley. William Sasha Riley is an ex-military. He was in the United States Marines, I think, for a total of 21 years. When you hear him talk, he just seems and sounds like just a simple man, just a farm guy, just a down-to-earth, simple, down-to-earth guy. Joined the military because he loved his country and blah, blah, blah. And he recounts some of the most horrific child abuse I've ever heard. And it involves Epstein, the whole Epstein circle, and Donald Trump. He himself claims to have been molested by Donald Trump, and he actually tried to kill Donald Trump when he was 12 years old because of what Donald Trump had done to him and had done to other children. And I listened to the whole thing. I mean, there's an hour and 20 minutes, the first part. The second part is, I think, an hour and a half as well. The third part is about 20 or 30 minutes. The fourth part is 20 or 30 minutes. I've listened to the whole lot. I think there's like six parts or seven parts to it. And I was going to go to bed early last night, but I ended up staying up most of the night because this interview was so compelling and it was so disturbing. And the way William Sasha Riley presents the information is very believable, very compelling. You can hear the truth, you can feel the truth coming through his words. He's not making any wild claims. He refuses to speculate on some things. But some of the stories he tells of incredible cruelty are compelling. And according to his observation, Trump wasn't being blackmailed by Epstein. I mean, everybody had dirt on everybody because a lot of stuff was filmed. There was a lot of bad stuff going on. They weren't just having sex with young teenage girls. They were absolutely brutalizing and murdering children as well. And you're having parties to do it. Parties that would go for like a week or a few days, and they would gradually, there'd be less and less people there, and then it'd be down to the core group. And when it was down to that core group, they'd bring in the children and they'd start doing horrific things, rape, murder, just going out of their way to traumatize the children as much as they could. And one of the main perpetrators was Trump. And from this guy's impression of what he saw, Epstein was actually a subordinate to Trump. Epstein was simply an organizer. He was like a gopher. Got stuff together, got the parties together, organized all this sort of shit, him and Ghislaine Maxwell. But it was the big wigs that were running him, who had billions of dollars and were doing all this stuff to the children. And yeah, that's what was happening. So, hope the dog is not on the road. Here comes a car. So, that's okay, someone part of the stuff. And there's video footage that came out as well. I mean, there's video footage of Trump and Epstein. You've seen it when they're doing a child's fashion show. But there was footage that I've just received tacked onto that, which shows something else which is incredibly disturbing. But again, I don't know whether this second piece that's tacked on, where it's got Trump actually turning his head and pointing to a girl over at the wall and this terrified look on this child's face. I don't know if this is real. I can't confirm if it's real. See, that's the thing with AI. That's another one of the reasons I think they've worked so hard to get AI videos out there and make them so incredibly believable. and have so many people making AI videos and, you know, videos of you know, donkeys being attacked by sharks and all sorts of crazy stuff, you know. Videos that can't be real, videos of elephants rescuing their baby elephants from crocodiles and all sorts of stuff that I showed you. None of it is real. And I think that's why they've done that, because they want plausible deniability with some of these videos that are coming out showing Donald Trump and Epstein in compromising situations. And like, if anybody can research this next video that I'm about to show you, I just don't have time. I've got to leave where I am here. Like tomorrow morning, I'm actually leaving here. As you can see down there, everything's being packed. All the stuff, the dogs, little Sasha that's been following me around is going to be moved up to Jeff's ranch. Everything's going up there. So, and I'll be leaving here very early tomorrow morning. So I'll try to get what I can done. But if anybody can look into this and confirm whether this little piece of information where Trump turns and points at the wall is real, I'd be very, very appreciative. Yeah, you know, if that is a real video, like if we know some of it is real because we've seen it before when they're standing in the crowd and the children are dancing. We've seen that before, and all the men are standing around, all the businessmen. When you listen to William Sasha Riley's interview and consider what is being told to you in that interview, and you again revisit that video of Trump and Epstein and these businessmen standing around all of these little dancing little girls, it puts it in a whole new, incredibly disturbing light. You know, Trump is a full-blown psychopath. What's going on in Gaza, the war he's funding, what his ICE agents are doing to the United States. He knows what the destruction of Amalek means. And all he really knows is that it's going to be a massive harvest time. They're going to be able to get all the blood and children and gore and all of that beautiful pain they can extract from people, that desperation that they want to extract from people. They're going to get massive downloads of it from what they're concocting. He's an evil man. Just look at the way he has, the way he sexualized his own daughter, Ivanka, when he set up her child modeling career, the sort of stuff that he did to her, and the poses that he had her in. It's rumored that he actually auctioned off her virginity. I don't know how true that is, but it wouldn't surprise me. Hola, mi amiga.
Buenos días.
Buenos días. That's the gate man. From down the gate. There's a gate down here you might be able to see. See that boom gate down there, that little hickey in the little cabin by the boom gate? That's where that guy's from. He's a really nice guy, he's very friendly. But yeah, I urge you to go and watch this interview and make it viral. It should go viral, and download it. Download it. Burn hard copies onto disk or whatever, onto USB drives or whatever, and drop it off in your neighborhood letterboxes, whatever. Get this information out to people because it's compelling. And like I said, I believe the guy. I can feel his truth coming through his words. And this is how evil the system is. And I warn you, it's very disturbing listening to this stuff. But yeah, it's important. It's important that people see what's going on. But anyway, I think that's all I've got to say, folks. Like I've said, you know, we can fix this, but it's got to be done through non-compliance. And don't believe any of the lies you're hearing. Don't believe all the lies about what's going on in Iran and all the lies that you're hearing about what's going on in Venezuela and all this sort of shit. I mean, another reason they want their whole takeover of Greenland as well is because with this whole new mega city they want to build and this whole new smart grid they're building as well, it's going to take mega computing power to do that. They want to build that service system in Greenland because they'll save millions and millions of dollars on the cooling system if they can do it in a place that is covered in ice. That's another reason that they want Greenland. It's all part of the plan, folks. And it's been part of the plan for years. There was actually a great report put out, I saw on Redacted the other day, where they interviewed Derek Brose, and good on Derek for doing this. And again, Derek and I have had our little misconceptions, but hey, I love you, brother. And we've got to put all this shit down. Honestly, everybody in the whole so-called truth movement, you've got to stop looking at your own personal truth and start realizing that this is a freedom movement. We need the freedom to discover what the truth is. And whatever differences you've got with anybody, now's the time to put all that down, because everybody in the alternate media is ultimately on the same side, unless they're controlled opposition. And there are certain people who are, like Alex Jones is totally backflipped. Alex Jones is totally supporting MAGA, totally supporting ICE, totally supporting the police state that he warned everybody about. But again, that's why he was out there with a megaphone after 9/11 and blah, blah, blah. And perhaps he wasn't really towing the line. So they, you know, fined him $1 trillion for his Sandy Hook report and say, okay, you better step back into line or you're going to end up the way of Epstein. So, you know, that's probably why he's doing what he's doing. But I don't know. I don't trust him anyway. But anyway, what I'm saying is we've got to put all our shit down and we've got to put down all our differences and come together. But anyway, again, what I saw was a report by Derek Brose on Redacted, where they interviewed him, and he talked about Elon Musk's parents, the technocrats, and the map they had, which encompassed all of North America and Greenland, all the way down to Venezuela. And so this has been planned since the turn of the last century, folks. Now, none of this is new. And what holds it all together, what holds the club together, is the horrific pedophilia and child murder and torture club that they all belong to. That's why they'll never betray anybody. And even the kid that came forward, or he's not a kid, but the man that came forward and is talking about this, William Sasha Riley, said, yeah, I murdered a girl. I strangled her because she begged me to, because she couldn't go out. I'd already cut off one of her toes. She'd been repeatedly raped. She had broken ribs, broken arm, and they were going to take her back out there again. And she just said, I can't, please, please kill me. And he did. And they said to him, well, you did this, so you're a murderer now too, so you can never talk any more about this. And they got him to kill other girls. One girl was shot in the head. There's all sorts of horrific stuff. And this happened when he was like 12 years old. So in his child mind, he perceived himself to be guilty when he wasn't. So it's imperative that people look at this and listen to what this guy says and understand this is who's running things, folks. These are the most despicable people. And it's time we've reclaimed our world. It really is. And the thing about all this sort of stuff, I mean, once you see it, you can't unsee it. That's the disturbing part about the so-called truth movement. That's the disturbing part about waking up, is that once you're awake, you can't be unawake. And as disturbing as it is, you know, it still gives you the opportunity to actually do something about it. And really, that's what we need to do, folks. We need to seize this opportunity and we need to take our world back.
The uncomfortable thing about awakening is that you see through everything. And the thing is that other people are not used to you seeing through everything. It's not that you only start to see through society and sales business or social media. You start to see through every person coming into your life. You start to suddenly see the intention behind them even coming into your life within seconds. And this is not always comfortable. You know exactly when dating someone, their actual intentions. Work related, whatever it is, you start to see through it all. And then there comes a point where you actually ask if maybe it was better not seeing through everything. That's the thing with awakening, that we can't go back. There is no turning back. We can't unsee what we've seen. When people try to fuck you over like they used to, but that's because they don't know that you see. So embrace it all. Embrace this human experience. And hey, at least now, you see it.
Yeah, she kind of nailed it. I can see how disturbed she actually feels about it, but it's the truth. But yeah, I think that's all I've got to say, folks. Again, Acapulco will be in February next month. It's only like 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away. Amazing. 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. And I'll see you there if you come. I'm actually going to have a bar there as well. There's going to be a pop-up bar. The Crow House is going to be there again. We've got a place there that's going to do it. So I'm looking forward to that. Again, if you haven't got a ticket yet, you can get one at the link below. You can use my name, Egan. Get yourself a 10% discount on the ticket. And I'll look forward to seeing you there. And even if you're not coming, I'll look forward to seeing you in Puerto Vallarta anyway. And who knows where else I'll be between now and then, and who knows where I'll be after there. But I look forward to seeing all of you and continuing these reports. And I think we're coming to a real turning point. I do. I think things are about to change. They have to. There's so much information coming out now. You cannot ignore that which is right in your face. And you need to share this William Riley interview with all of the MAGA people. You really do. It's important. And yeah. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me in this report. I want to get up here and say goodbye to little Nacho before they go. And I will look forward to seeing you again soon, speaking to you again soon. It'll be in the next couple of weeks, so I'm going to be kind of moving around on the fly, but we'll work it out. But I'll look forward to speaking to you soon, folks. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails, the people who make donations. Thank you to everybody out there on the front line speaking the truth. Please watch this Matthew Sasha Riley interview and share it and share it and share it to everybody you know. It's important that people see just what type of evil we're dealing with and realize that the only people that are going to bring about change is us, and now's the time to do it. But I look forward to speaking to you soon, folks, in Lakesh. Nacho. Nacho. Hello, darling. Hello, darling. Sol. Hello, Sol. Hello, Cielo. Luna. Nacho, Nacho. Nacho, I will see you when I see you next, little darling. You'll be leaving me today. So many dogs here, folks. But yeah, anyway, I look forward to seeing you soon in Lakesh. Again.
In control of the most intelligent, powerful species on the planet would be to completely divide them from the love within themselves. As soon as they are old enough to begin creating an understanding of who they are, force them into a system that teaches them that it is wrong to be yourself if yourself is different from what is accepted as normal. Confuse them about their own biological makeup so that they think that permanently altering their body is the answer to happiness. Require their daily attendance at an institution that makes them focus only on the information that is provided. Make them attend that institution from age 5 until an adult and repeatedly test them on the information so that it becomes their truth. Give them an explanation to everything so that they never have a chance to make their own assumptions of the world. Scold them and humiliate them if they suggest an opinion that opposes that of their authoritatives. Keep reminding them of how cruel their ancestors were to each other in the past and broadcast how cruel they are to each other in the present. Only show them tragedies on the news so that they live in fear and think the worst of one another. Convince them that their species used to be that of an incognizant wild animal. Make them think that their very existence is so incredibly random that they lack purpose and struggle to make sense of a creator. Tell them that their kind is as smart as they've ever been so that they don't question the integrity of the system that they're in. provide them idols with artificial beauty, and use them as examples of what it is to look perfect, so that they are never content with their own appearance and can't help but to compare themselves amongst each other. Create addictive digital platforms that rank them by numbers so that they base their self-worth off of the amount of followers that they have and are never satisfied. Build a society around them in which those who have money benefit and those who don't fail. Make money their main focus, but make it so difficult to accumulate that they remain in a place of constant struggle, forced to dedicate the majority of their time to the system that made it this way. Tax them in every way possible, but tell them that it's for their own benefit so that they don't think twice about paying it. Take so much of their time and energy throughout the week, but give them 2 days to themselves so that they feel a sense of reward and don't fight back. Promote the consumption of poison in every social setting so that even on those 2 days, they remain disconnected from themselves and each other. Pump their food with excess sugars and addictive chemicals, but make it cheap, advertised, and easily accessible so that they never stop consuming. When their food makes them ill, prescribe them medication that only masks the symptoms so that they become dependent on it every day. Charge them so much money for healthcare so that they stay in a constant loop of consuming, medicating, and working. Cause chaos amongst them and blame it on a group of their own so that they form judgmental stereotypes. Turn them against each other in so many ways so that even if they were to connect on one, they would still be divided by another.
In the 1800s, scientists conducted an experiment. They wanted to test how creatures respond to danger. First, they filled a pot with boiling water. They placed a frog inside. The frog jumped out immediately. Survival instinct, instant reaction. Then they tried something different. They placed a frog in room temperature water, comfortable, safe, normal. Slowly, they turned up the heat, 1 degree at a time. The frog didn't notice. It adjusted. It adapted. The water got warmer. Still, the frog stayed. It kept adjusting, kept adapting. The water reached 100 degrees. The frog was still there. By the time it realized what was happening, it was too weak to jump. The frog died. Not because it couldn't escape, but because it didn't notice the danger until it was too late. The point. This is you. Your job started fine, then one extra hour, then weekends. Now you have no life. Your relationship was good, then one argument, then silence. Now you're strangers. Your health was fine, then one skipped workout, then fast food became normal. Now you can't climb stairs. You don't drown in the ocean, you drown 1 degree at a time. Small compromises, tiny sacrifices, gradual decline. By the time you notice, you're already boiling. The question, what temperature is your water right now?